Queer Theory is a podcast challenging anti-blackness through discussions of global, local, and popular culture from the perspective of Afro-Canadians who live different versions of ourselves to navigate everyday life. The podcast is available on Apple, Google, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Podbeans, Radio Public, and Stitcher.
Yeah, you know it's your boy Lead Pipe.
Yeah, and your boy Sadis.
And you're listening to the Black Multiverse Theory Podcast.
I mean, I live until the podcast done can't be feeling a feeling.
Sometime.
But we don't done with that.
Wow.
Bam.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, fine.
So how,
hey, Tanya.
I hate to say, how was your last week? Because it has been stressful.
Last week is...
Recap?
Yeah, recap for last week. Last week was productive. Mm-hmm. I put together a full dresser.
All of IKEA.
A wardrobe for my girls. a drawer for my girls. Two dressers for my boys.
Do you get the hang shelves? Of it? Like, do you start and like by the third one?
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Like halfway through the second one, where you're like, oh.
But what I've learned with IKEA, and the funny thing about IKEA is, there's little things that they throw into each one, mm-hmm. that is different from the next one. So, like. The wardrobes.
So you bought two exactly the same things and they were like a little bit different?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we, for the dressers that the boys have, each one of them is a brown, very chocolatey brown dresser. Their room is like Superman blue. Mm. And then all their furniture in there is like a nice chocolate brown. So their bed is like that. They have a bunk bed. And then they have the two dressers. So we took out the old dresser. I made runs upon runs to the Eco Center to get rid of all the stuff that's in their room. Mm-hmm. And got the dresser up, and they have these little locking things. So you kind of screw them in, and mm-hmm. then you have to push this little circular locking.
Inside.
Yeah, inside the little hole.
Turn it.
And then you turn it, and it locks. It squeezes pieces together. So, yeah, some of those were, like, very metallic. And then some of those were like white. So.
Depending on which one?
No.
Depending on which box?
No, it's the exact same.
Oh, same box.
It's the exact same dresser. So in the box with the gear in it, with all your screws and all that stuff, one had a set of like dark gray ones.
Something's making me sneeze.
I'm not sure what it is.
Me neither.
It's probably this.
Yep. That's the last time thing that made me sneeze all crazy.
Mm-hmm. And then, So there's that. And then there's the, like, the wardrobe. It has these little bumpers. So when you close it, it's not like, bang! Mm-hmm. You know? So those were left in the box. And after I finished, I said, what are these for?
You're like, oh, cool.
Mr. Page.
My dad's like, oh, there's extra parts. These are for... I'm like, I don't think that's how this works.
And there are. They have the little nubs. They'll have like one or two extras in each box.
Just kidding.
In each box, they have like the one little wooden... You usually take a mallet and you kind of hammer it in. Mm. They'll have like one left over just in case you break one.
Okay.
But other than that, it went off without a hitch.
Nice.
Your week?
Was so-so. Yeah, it was so-so. I remember the story of me getting... Did I say I got pulled over last week?
No.
I got pulled over last week and I got a ticket. And the ticket came to me and it was like a whole different name on the ticket. Like, every name, beginning, middle, and end was spelled completely...
Completely different person.
Different. Like, extra vowels, more words. Like, like my name is probably like maybe 35 points on a Scrabble board, and then the one that they gave me was like definitely like 60 points on a Scrabble board. All kind of H's and K's in there. So that was cool because I think that that technically means I don't have to pay it.
It doesn't have your name on it.
I mean, it's, I don't know who that person is at all.
That's deep.
So, yeah, I have been, this might have us roll into the scroll right away, but I had been avoiding this George Floyd video that has been going around.
Mm-hmm.
I generally.
Why is that?
I tend to like really internalize violence. It affects me. Like, I guess I think what happened was when I was growing up, my dad only let me watch a very specific kind of
violence.
Yeah, only a particular kind of violence. So it was always supernatural type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So. Like, we didn't watch a lot of shooting. We didn't, like, definitely not a lot of shooting, but we just didn't watch a lot of, like, movies that had a lot of, like, death in them. So I think what happened is that I grew up more sensitive than adults my age to just general death. If I see people fighting, like, I know the internet being what it is, WorldStar being what it is, like, people love to watch people fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I get really emotional and start, I can cry off of a fighting video, so I don't watch them at all.
I hear you though.
So, I've seen a lot of these videos when Eric Garner specifically was murdered. At that time, his voice sounded a lot like somebody I know.
Mm.
And that triggered in me, like, and somebody I know who lives in New York. Actually, he sounded a lot like my brother-in-law. So that triggered in me this, like, just a really, like, hit home type of a reaction. And from then on, I stopped watching videos. It's very traumatic for me of particularly Black death at the hands of police, but generally, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, violent internet videos. I'm not the one. I'm the cat video. But cats, babies, dogs, puppies.
Yeah. For me, I get where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. On social media, I don't know. There's a part of me. I think my guilty pleasure, the thing that I'll watch on social media that a lot of people won't know about is street fights, like, mm-hmm. especially people who are drunk and they're fighting, mm-hmm. and they're staggering. I find it funny.
Lots of people like those.
I find it funny if the guy's trash talking and then gets knocked out in one punch. I operate in a way that I study it.
Mm.
If I'm watching it. To see how that person did it, or how the other person could have avoided getting a one punch knockout kind of deal.
Yeah.
This particular case was very interesting with George. There's a lot to the case. There's a lot to the situation. First of all, a little bit of history facts for people, especially people who don't know in the States. A lot of the people who came over as slaves or who became slaves, they would, you know, they'd be born, whatever, at the slave house, and they would be raised. And as a sign of disrespect, the white slave master would name them George. They would call them George. No matter what the guy's name could be, Derek, Conto, it didn't matter what the guy's name was. They would sell them and call them George. There's a whole book called I Am George,
mm-hmm.
Which is a full circle turnaround for this guy, George, who was a staple in the community, they say. He used to pick up people and take them to the doctor's office, mm-hmm. and do a bunch of stuff. His mom, I believe, passed away,
mm-hmm.
and
so two years ago,
mm-hmm. and the video is very—it's not a graphically violent video. that we're watching. What mm-hmm. we're watching is a man subdued and a man being killed.
Literally dying, yeah.
Literally dying on the floor.
The last moments. Yeah.
And his last moments of life as he cries out, as he pleads out. Mm-hmm. And it sparks in a lot of different feelings in a lot of different people. For me, it sparks the first time I realized that I am black. And the world, all over the world, love my culture. They love my food. They love it, but they do not love me. And they are afraid of me. I kind of spoke about it on the CBC a few months back. And it was the Don't Touch My Hair episode on CBC. And it was talking about how racism is rampant in the city. And if you look in the city, you'll realize now when you talk to people about this particular situation, a lot of people, especially in the city, who are not black, mm-hmm. are questioning what he did to get in the position where he's in. It's his fault he died because people of whatever.
People are still doing this. Got it.
And there are a lot of things that are happening. So when you look at the case and you watch it, it is saddening and it is infuriating. Yeah. And I think I've been upset and angry all week, but yeah. just barely holding it down. You know, how upset I am about right. the situation. And I understand the rioting. People are like, well, you didn't have to destroy the whole place and blah, blah, blah. And people are tired.
I think realistically, if you understand what's going on, you're not going to prioritize buildings. Like, insurance, there's insurance for that. You're not going to prioritize buildings over people. Additionally, this is like, the majority of the people going to work right now, quote unquote essential workers, are black people in the States. Like, the majority of the people dying from coronavirus is black people. That is the systemic issue. Like, the killing of George Floyd is definitely one thing. This is a large systemic issue. So you can't tell people how to voice their rage. The reason why gay and lesbian community has as many rights as they have today, granted they're still fighting, is because of the Stonewall riots, right? That's the anniversary of that is coming up in June. Those were riots that made that happen. Even if we talk about India, like India being free, there was a whole, we talk about Gandhi a lot, but there was a whole group of people setting stuff on fire and bombing things. Same with apartheid in South Africa. Same, like, all of the major movements of change that we have do have a violent component to them because this is the breaking point. And things destroying is actually what people react to. It's what the corporations and the capitalists that are running things over there respond to. So I would prefer if people were like, not that it's my decision in any case, but I would prefer if people were like, I must not understand the amount of rage it takes to get there. If you're in the position that you don't get it, rather than being like, they shouldn't be doing this, rather than being like, I am completely removed because I am not at that level of enragement. That means like that group of people is experiencing something that here in Canada, you don't even come close to experiencing. Like there's a lot wrong with Canada for sure. I will tell you in terms of like the policing system. There's a lot that goes on with not being held accountable. I think the news media in Canada, as far as I'm concerned, is really supports the status quo and does a lot to not upset that fabric of that. And there's kind of a social contract of not being violent and not uprising in that way. So I'm like rambling now, huh? So, yeah, I guess I totally lost my point, but in any case.
Well, the thing about this particular one in that aspect, mm-hmm. No matter if you're from Canada or you're from wherever you're around the world, right. And the details that I have about it is, as a black person, people all over the world have a problem. We are hated all over the world. Just before this, you know, we had Ahmaud Arbery, right. And we had Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
So we had those two people. Just after George Floyd was another young lady in Toronto who got pushed out of her building and was told that the place was that she committed suicide. And the family's like, no, she didn't commit suicide. There's no way she would have committed suicide. That's not the type of person. And so now she's on the docket. People are talking about her. Mm-hmm. Months, years ago, I saw a video where a group of families in Spain had bought these houses in this neighborhood. And then this motorcycle group came in and pulled each one of these people out of the homes that they bought and kicked them and beat them down the street, said, you need to get out of our neighborhood. And they beat them out of the neighborhood.
And I have a client from Spain that says that happens.
Yeah. And so you look at it, we have the commercials, the countless commercials. We talked about it 1 year ago when we talked about the commercials in Asia where they took the black guy, they put him in the washing machine, mm-hmm. and the Asian lady was like, ugh. And then she pushed him in the washing machine and put the Tide or whatever mm-hmm. laundry detergent it was in there and pulled him out, and he became a beautiful, handsome, very, very light-skinned Asian man, mm-hmm. which she fell in love with immediately. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, you're dirty. Go wash yourself and now you'll be made beautiful. But right. It wasn't that you were dirty. It was that you were black.
Yeah.
We talk about it on so many different levels. Jesse Lipscomb had Making It Awkward, where here in Edmonton, somebody shouted something out, which we don't know what the circumstances were, why that even happened. It was very strange. But when I brought up the fact that this happens in our community and I put it on CBC, the people at my workplace were like, wow, what do you mean? And at the same time, I realized at that time I was getting paid less than other plumbers and had to go and talk to HR. Yeah, and be like, yo, how come I'm getting paid less than the other plumbers that work for the company?
Yep.
So many things are happening mm-hmm. all over it. We may not see it in the media here as much, mm-hmm. but it's still here. Yeah, it's still here.
Yeah.
So all over the world, it took me moving to Florida to realize that it's big, like it's yeah. huge. Like I can see where you're in a sea of problems and you feel like there's no way out and there's no yeah. way to fix this. You are trying to make land in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
And all you have is a cup of sand and you're trying to build an island and you cannot. You cannot build yourself anything because the moment you dash that sand in and you are overwhelmed mm-hmm. and the people are overwhelmed. I myself, as I said, I have been very upset all week mm-hmm. and angry and I feel like if I was younger and without my children and not married, I'd be out there rioting too. Like I'd be there.
Well, I think I've been really deeply reflecting because I am not in a position where I can go and riot, and you're not in a position where you can go and riot, and many people are not. But I'm not sure that we are all needed on the riot front. So what I would suggest, if you are not a riot front type of a person, see what you can do to support those people on the ground. See, I'm trying to gather links myself. If you guys know any, you can feel free to post it on the Black Multiverse or send yeah. it to any one of us directly. But gather links of where we can donate. One of the things that we do have in Canada, thankfully, is that we're a lot better off here than a lot of the young people who are out there doing really on the four lines and forefront of the work. So if you have the money and you can donate, find out where you can donate to, because mm-hmm. we know that, of course, money is going to keep this going, and money is happening on the other side. If you are a prayer warrior, if you're a person who like knows that you can pray your way through it, then absolutely, that's where you're needed. Like, there are people who roll their eyes and stoops up at prayer, but realistically, there's a lot of people who are able to harness that power. And if that's something that you're doing, then you should be furiously doing that right now. You know, there's really a lot of things that you can be doing wherever you are, and kind of thinking what that is and the aspect of resisting. And for some of you, mm-hmm. it's just going to be logging off and keeping your mental space like good. This is not good for everybody. It's a back to back to back pretty much onslaught of your psyche. We've gone from COVID and the craziness of COVID directly into just being overloaded with literally Black Death on your screen, and we've been all over and we've been glued to the screen because mm-hmm. we've been home. So we've been hyper in this world. So it kind of, there's people who wouldn't even have been online that
it's sorry to interrupt, but it's amazing to watch. You're on Facebook, people are posting. You come off of Facebook, I went home, I turned on the weather channel, it's on the weather channel. Like, right. it's on there. They're talking about rioting and the weather, what the weather's going to be for the riot. Right. You know, they're talking about different stuff.
Yeah.
But in that, the more information you get, and the problem is we're overloaded and overwhelmed with information that is coming in.
Right.
Some of them is true, some of them is not true. Right. Our job here on the Black Multiverse Theory is to give you the scroll, that you can cipher through it and figure out what's there.
Right.
But there's a lot of truths and untruths. Mm-hmm. A lot of the things that we'll tell you, some of them may not be true, but they're just outlandish. They're just outrageous. So we'll tell you them so that you can laugh with us or look at it. This situation, though, is not really a laughable situation.
Right.
You look at this guy, George, and I told you a little bit about him, but the riots that came, that ensued,
mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there are reports that the police started the fires, mm-hmm. and they show a police officer agitated, with his right. mask lighting the building across the street from the police officer on fire, and then right. running across the street.
Right.
So they show that. The other thing that I found out yesterday, was George was a bouncer inside the club. The police officer that killed him was a bouncer at night on the outside of the same club. So they knew each other. So they're like, well, one was a bouncer on the outside and one was a bouncer on the inside. They may not have ever met. No.
Really?
No. I don't think so. They met because the inside of the club guy throws the guy out to the outside of the club guy.
Right.
Right. They work. They know each other.
Right.
So now this becomes premeditated. Yeah. The guy who also did, you know, was on his neck and put his knee on his neck. For those of you who have been living in a box and not seen anything, George was apprehended for writing a false check, alleged false check, or
right, allegedly.
So they call the police. Which in this case, by the amount of police that came to the check place, the description of George was tall, large Black man. So they needed four officers to come.
Wow.
Like, why would you, like, if it's just me, why wouldn't you and your partner just come and detain me?
Right.
When they got there, George was like, yo, what's going on here? And he sees his guy that he does bouncing with at night. They handcuff him, they put him around, bring him around to the driver's side rear driver's side door,
mm-hmm.
put him inside where they beat him. in the door. So they have footage now of the four officers hitting him inside the vehicle. He's handcuffed. So they show the officers.
This is before he's on the ground.
Wow. So they show the handcuffed officers. Three of them are inside. One is on one door, and the two are in one door, and they're beating him inside the vehicle. Then they drag him out, throw him on the ground. One officer is on his feet, his legs. One officer is in his mid area, and the other on his torso, and the other officer has his knee on his neck. And for 9 minutes, they sat there as he pleaded, "I can't breathe. Okay, I can't breathe." And the guy's like, "Well, why don't you get up?" And he's like, "I can't. You're on me. I can't." And he starts crying out for his mom, and then he dies. So this is the scenario that happens. This is why people are enraged right now, because all the – and they were enraged before the rest of the videos came out. Right? This is it. Like, this stems back from Trayvon Martin. This stems back. We're talking about all the people. There have been women.
Tamir Rice. 13-year-old Tamir Rice. On the playground, playing with a stick. And then a police officer drives onto the playground. Now, think about the – think about what we're in. This little boy's on in the playground by himself, playing with a stick. And some – I believe it was a white woman – called in. And talked about some, maybe it was a grown person, maybe it was a kid. She thinks he has a gun. The police came, opened the car door, and rolled out of the car door and shot the kid.
Yeah.
On the playground. Insane.
Shot.
John Crawford, who's in Walmart shopping, picks up a gun that Walmart has, an airsoft BB gun rifle. And walking through the thing, somebody in the other aisle says, "There's a guy in Walmart with a gun." The police roll in and murder the man as he's on the phone with his pregnant fiance. Cool. Philando Castile, a teacher who says to the police, "Licensed carrier, I have a gun in the car." They murder him. That's in Minnesota. This cop has hired that same lawyer that got that cop off. Now, none of the police that I have just mentioned served any time.
Yeah. They're not being held at the same thing. And it goes on and on and on. There's many women as well that have just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Absolutely. I've been murdered by the police,
just
too.
Just got missing.
And been murdered. Our girl over there who was playing with her nephew in the middle of the night, and the police rolled in and murdered that girl.
Just
that
came
lady.
In.
Yeah, and that was a welfare check.
through the man. He shot her right through the glass.
And then the one we were just talking about, a paramedic getting murdered when they were delivering the warrant to the completely wrong place. My man's whole fiance got shot. That's a first line responder. That's a first line responder paramedic.
So we are looking at this. This is the anger that is coming in here on the Black Multiverse Theory podcast. We have told you names and dates and court appearances of all of these things. You can go back, and we have mentioned almost in every episode. There's like a majority of episodes.
We're like, here's who got killed.
And
that's not like, I want everybody to understand that during COVID, yes, we weren't really hearing a lot about these police killings, but just so that you're aware, in that time there was over 300 during that time, so it's still happening. We just hearing about it. So I'm wondering now if the news cycle has now switched to Black Death to cue to white folks that it's okay to go back to work and go outside.
And here's the thing, even with that cue that comes in, and even with everybody that's there, we have to realize that with our social media, with COVID coming out and allowing people to come out, we have had so many people arrested in these last 2 days, and so many people coming in. There's a video of a Black woman like walking away, listening to the police, and a white cop comes behind her and grabs her arm and pulls her, and she goes, "Let go of me and now, or I'm gonna give it to you."
Are you threatening a police officer?
She's older. And he grabbed her arm, and she clocked him in his face twice. And a Black cop came out of nowhere and locked her right up. Boom. Right on her back. Poof. She landed.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. That's on video. There's another one just before this guy got killed. There was a young teenager. He must have been about 17 in his car. And there was some sort of he failed to yield. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And they said pull over, and he was like a block away from his house. So instead of pulling over,
he's trying to get to his house.
He drove to his house and stopped in front of the house, got out, and then went on his knees at his house. 8 police cars showed up at the thing, guns drawn. Everybody drew their gun, and he's lying on his back. His hands are up. He's not moving. And they all shot him. And they're just standing there, just waiting for him to move, like just move. And his grandma comes out. She must have been like 70. She's got a cane, white hair. And she stands over him and she goes, "You are not going to, he is down. And then the neighbor, because he's in his neighborhood. So now the cops now are surrounded.
By the neighborhood.
The neighborhood's like, "No. Not another. Don't kill him. Put your guns down. He's down. Put your guns down." And the cops, 3 of the cops came together, like almost shoulder to shoulder, right? And they came in, the guns drawn at grandma, at the boy. And they're like, "Grandma, get away." And the lady, and I'm choking. And the cop grabs grandma's hand. And he's like, "Back up. Move back. Get back." And she's like, "I'm not moving. Put your gun down." And he takes her and he goes like this. And the cane falls and she falls. On top of the little boy. And all you see is that sea of people just descend on all those cops. Like, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know what happened to them in the end, but that's like a sea of people in the neighborhood. And this is happened right before these riots happened. So that this whole thing is not about this.
I'm not sure if this one is going to hit the news the same way, but in Brazil, a young 14-year-old boy, while Pedro Matos Pinto on Monday was shot dead, 70 bullets in his body.
Wow.
Yeah, 70. Why? Well, this is Face to Face Africa that I'm reading from that says that supposedly on the heels of drug dealers, so he just got caught up. Curiously enough, the boy was airlifted by security agents in a civil police helicopter and taken to the firefighter aerial operation south of Rio, about 18 kilometers, without informing any family member of the boy. So they were going after the drug dealer, shot this boy 70 times, and then airlifted his body out there and didn't tell his family or anybody that the guy had died.
Weird.
With Pinto's parents unaware of his demise, the family started searching all night. Hospitals, police stations, created a campaign on social media. And then 17 hours later, it was found at the police of Rio de Janeiro claimed it initiated an investigation to look into the death of the teenager killed by the police operation. So... Wow. The cousin said that the police descended on this guy's home and in search of drugs or whatever. And then in addition to shooting, they also threw, grenades into the house.
Wow.
Yeah. "We were in the pantry lying down. The police came in, told us to lie on the floor. Everyone shut up." Yeah.
So it's a regular thing we see on TV. You see it on movies. So sometimes we get desensitized, but it's actually happening. And this is in Brazil.
Shots. Yuck.
So you know,
14 years old.
Yeah, he's 14.
So here we are. Now the whole world is burning. I don't know what to say.
Well, at least U.S. is burning. Especially in Minneapolis. So shout out to the families.
It's all over the states. It's gone. D.C. The White House is shut down. It's on complete lockdown. I think they're... Yeah. Trump said when the protesting starts, the shooting starts.
When the looting starts, the shooting starts. Which is an old... I heard it's an old 1960s or 70s saying.
Right. So they were like, no, they mean when he said shooting, he means like then the media is going to be shooting their cameras.
They're like, yeah, right.
Okay, guys, we're going
to keep also, doing this. He said that in a campaign where he said to all the mayors of all the different cities that he's sending military support if they need it. So if they request for military support, they would. And then he ended that with, when looting starts, the shooting starts.
Okay.
So there's no out of context. He's pretty clear what he's doing. He spent the whole time, and this is why people are upset and why the White House has to be on lockdown.
Yeah.
This is because he spent the whole time, you know, watching the space launch by Elon Musk. I did not know this. But the rocket was done at Cape Canaveral, right? Which is the old Air Force... NASA headquarters, their base, right?
Yeah.
Now the Space Force has moved their location, and you know that area I thought was shut down, but it looks like Musk is actually able to use it, and the facilities there, and it's a commercial one. So they sent two people up there.
Wow.
It's a commercial space flight.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Canadian astronaut, really famous. Retired Canadian astronaut. He's known for singing while he's up in space, and mm-hmm. he loves it up there, and I think he's pretty cool, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he said like it's rare that your first flight up into space doesn't end in an explosion. he said it's rare.
That's the odds so far.
And this guy, you know, first right out the block, he got it up into space, which is great.
Yeah. Also, let's remember that Elon Musk himself is from old apartheid South African money, and he literally took over the company that he's like ahead of now, and he is not a genius, just so that you know.
No, but even though he's not a genius, he has the money to hire the geniuses.
That's true.
And the same thing with Bill Gates. Same thing with Bill Gates. Bill Gates knew very minimal about computers, like the basic stuff that we all know about computers. It's mm-hmm. the people that he hired to get going. Even the what's his name, Zuckerberg.
Yeah, that's the one.
That dude.
Zuckerberg.
That guy. Even in the video, there's a movie about him. He had drunken programming parties to get Facebook up and running. So Mark did his thing. All these people do their things. The man behind the money is usually the guy who just realizes he can't do the stuff, and that he has the money to hire the stuff out.
I think Elon Musk is actually set a campaign to make himself out to be a genius that he's not.
Sure.
I also wanted to say that the cop that was a part of this murder, Derek Chauvin, the hands in pocket one, he has had 18 complaints in 19 years. There are 12 police brutality complaints. They are all listed as closed, non-public, and no discipline. They were chasing a car in 2005 and caused the death of 3 people. He was one of the, Chauvin was one of the officers who murdered Wayne Reyes. So he already has one murder on his belt. A Latino man with 16 bullets, forced into him. 42 rounds were shot totally. He also shot Ira Latrell Tolles, an unarmed black 21-year-old man, in 2008. He was also put on leave in 2011 for inappropriate police shooting of an Alaskan Native American, Leroy Martinez. So he's been murdering people for a little while, I think.
He's at least been shooting them. And he this time he was like, I'm not going to shoot this dude, but I'm going to put my hands in my pocket.
Yeah.
And kill him with my knee.
And kneel on his knees.
Kneel on his
jugular. And they came out, the medical examiner came out and said that they don't think that it was the strangulation that killed him, but there was may have been underlying toxicology in his system and or medical condition that made him not able to withstand 9 minutes of choking.
Yeah, nobody can withstand 9 minutes of choking.
Which makes me feel like they're already writing the undermine to be like, see, he didn't die of strangulation.
Of course.
Because in order, like, number one, once they're like, murder, they have to say murder by what? Strangulation. Okay, number one, the medical examination record has to say that that is why the person died in order for you to even go along with the charge. So third degree manslaughter is what he got charged with.
Yeah, well, the medical examiners, this is as far as I know, mm-hmm. they can't say whether it's murder, but they can
say... No, they can say how.
Like, they can say how. Blunt force trauma, right. You know, strangulation, right. Blah, blah, blah.
But what they're saying is...
they're not
that,
sure.
But they're saying he died because of his underlying medical conditions, not because of the knee.
And that's just a swap of the brown paper bag with the money in it. That's all that is. That's a sandwich bag. Like, here, it's did true. You get your lunch?
Here's that thin blue line. This is the thing when people talk about, are all cops bad? And my favorite line is, it's just a few bad apples. But the thing is, a few bad apples spoils the bunch. Not, it's just a few bad apples, the bunch is okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it goes. So if there are 1,000 cops that are good cops, and there are 3 cops that are bad cops, and the 1,000 cops do not turn on the 3 bad cops, you have 1,003 bad cops. Mm-hmm. I just want to very make that clear. So the fact that these things have been able to go on for this long,
yeah,
it means that there's 1,003 bad cops.
Yeah, Tim is online. Tim says that manslaughter has no minimum or maximum sentence. That's what makes it worse as right. well. Because
so the man could get off with probation or whatever.
He could get away with it. Chris Rock made a statement. He said, you know, there are some professions that you need to be good 100% of the time.
Right.
Like a pilot, you can't, like he said, American Airlines can't say, you know, most of our pilots love to land their planes, but we do have a few that like to crash them into mountains. He goes, right. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work that way. You right. can't have bad pilots.
Right.
You can't have a bad doctor. You know, these are the things you're not supposed to have. These things you have to be good.
Yeah.
As a you can't have bad surgeon. You right. can't have bad doctor, but right. not a bad surgeon.
Right.
And these are the things. So you know, it's just one of those things where we are going to have to push forward. And there are some protests happening
for sure.
There's 2 protests that I know of. Jesse Lipscomb. Has one. If you go on your Facebook, you can probably look up the protest and sign up to be a part of that protest.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get to the legislative grounds. The other protest is happening, I believe it's going to be down.
It's a BLM one. It's at the ledge.
No. The one I'm talking about is down White Ave. So they're going to walk down White Ave and then towards the ledge, I believe.
Okay.
And somebody, you know, responded, two people responded. My wife was one of them, and somebody else responded about it. Like, why would you go down White Ave? White Ave to me is a perfect place to go down. You have all those university students that live in the buildings behind White Ave itself on both sides. They have the student housing there. You can jump in, and then just crossing the bridge, it's a huge spectacle. You can block the bridge,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the people.
Yeah, what are the demands?
Well, that's the thing. They want to have, you know, rights. I guess they want to have police to be accountable for the stuff that they're doing here in the city and everywhere else.
Right.
There are a lot of cases here in the city for First Nations and for Black people in the city.
The news, I promise you, there's like the protocol that goes into brushing that jam onto the carpet.
They do a lot. They do.
They're like, police involved shooting today at 3 o'clock, and now we're going over to weather.
That's the thing.
Nigel Williams. Nigel. So what's up? Is it going to be us? You're like, what did they just say?
That's why I hate. I've always not liked the news. I've always not liked it. Yeah. Because we tend to report here in Canada very fluffy stuff. And some people are like, well, we don't have as much murder and we don't have as much violence. But that's not necessarily true.
Listen, when that gentleman, also because of racism, killed himself on the steps of the legislature, that thing was barely in the news. When that gentleman in Nova Scotia took out a bunch of people, that thing was barely in the news. And for some reason, every time they mentioned it, they also mentioned what he did for a living. Like he was some kind of a respectable person. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's all, just especially, what is it, the National Post?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. Globe and Mail. There's a bunch of them here that... well, anyway, that's why we have independent media. Shout out to Melanistic Magazine. If you haven't already, I Am Woman is on your stands now. We're probably sold out already.
Yeah.
Sold out of the free magazine.
And you have Black Multiverse Theory as well.
That's why we're here.
We're here to give you the stuff that you're not necessarily going to get in other pieces that are there. The thing about Canadian, like, when I was in Florida, and I was in Florida for a while, for 8 years, and while I was in Florida... You know, it was like murder and it was always, you know, and they said, you know, Hispanic, which most people who are Latino don't like that term, but it's how they describe. Even the other day I watched it on the news. That's how they continue to describe it on the news over there. And they'll be like, this person got shot and that person got shot. And I came back to Canada and it was like, okay, so we have a ban on the LRT system and there's a three-legged dog. Oh, look how cute. And you see the dog there with three legs limping along.
Yeah.
And they spend 20 minutes interviewing the lady about the dog, have her watch the dog walk across, watch the dog eat. Then the dog licks her face and her mouth. And then it's good. And then everybody's like, okay. I saw this more times than you'd even imagine. And I get it.
Just gloss over it and keep it moving.
I get it. They want to have difference. You know, they don't want it all to be gloom and doom. I get it. But the length of time and the amount of information they give you on the dog is way more extensive than the information they give you on something like this. So it's quite disheartening.
It is. Alrighty then. Is there anything else on the scroll you want to... Around about?
Well, on the scroll, other than that, we had today Kirk Franklin versus Fred Hammond on Versus. Mm-hmm. You can see that probably now. If you go on YouTube, you can probably see it. It was great because the classics, if you're a Kirk Franklin fan, a lot of people know about Kirk Franklin because they would play Kirk Franklin after the... No, not at all. What is he crossing over?
Well, I feel like his audience, like Kirk Franklin has reached an audience that's outside, like a secular audience, I guess, even with his music. Because they would play him on Hot 97 too without playing like actual gospel.
No, all his music is considered gospel music.
No, I know it is all gospel, but his reach has crossed. He's reached out into people who don't necessarily
100%. 100%. His reach has a lot of reach because of the type of songs he.
Oh dang it! We're frozen.
Yeah, you moved. I saw you do it, and I was like, "Wow, okay."
I should have just stayed perfectly still.
Just try and plug it back in. Wait for it to come back on.
Do it again? Do the stuff?
Sure.
Stay with us, folks, if you can hear our voice.
So, yeah. So Kirk Franklin, what I think he did a little bit different, or his promotions team did differently, is they went after the R&B and gospel radio stations, not just the gospel shows.
Gotcha.
And so you'd be at the club when they're doing the let out, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're letting out people in the States, they're playing Stomp, you know, they're playing, you know, lately I've been going through some things that really have me down. And everybody's like, yeah, you know, but they had to be careful because with his songs, you know, if you wanted people to leave, his songs had a little bounce to them.
Yeah, they did.
You know, it had a little bounce on him. I remember going to a concert in Florida with Kirk Franklin. It was Kirk Franklin, and it was Kirk Franklin and Donnie McClurkin and Yolanda Adams, and it was great. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was fantastic.
I think, yeah, maybe it was, no, I don't think it was my time in North Carolina, but the thing I liked best about the Kirk Franklin-Fred Hammond battle is watching my friends love it. And some of my friends who I didn't know were, like, really into gospel like that were like, oh, this is my jam. They were, like, super into it. I was like, oh, okay, this is all right. Mm-hmm. It's me like, okay, get yours. Get and yours.
There's a lot of our listeners that don't know any of these people, just like last week. There are a lot of listeners that may have heard one or two songs from Beanie Man.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two songs from Bone Tequila. And then they can't.
Do you have to say it like that every time?
Yes, I have to say it like
Bone Tequila.
Bone
every
tequila.
Time
I have to say it like that.
Okay, fine.
So when you look at it, you see all these people and they're like, wow, this is amazing. I'm versus these people. Oh, and they game. Have no clue.
Is the Blame Game a song?
I don't remember.
I vaguely remember a song called The Blame Game, but I don't know if that was that.
Yeah, but what people don't realize is Fred Hammond. I talk about Kirk Franklin, but I really want to just introduce people to Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond was in a group called Commissioned. It had Marvin Sapp in it. It had a bunch of really good singers. And the songs that they would come out with are just amazing. Just amazing. There's one song called I'm running back to you. I see you standing there for me. Your arms are open wide, and I don't have to cry no more. And it's the song just makes me, because of the time frame, I used to just literally just go nuts. What? No, Blame Game was Nigel blaming you for the.
Yeah, he always blames me.
Yeah, right. So the Fred Hammond songs he brought, and then he brought in Marvin Sapp into the area. So they did it kind of like how Beanie Man did it with Buju. Mm-hmm. With Bounty Killer. And they had the two of them in the same room with one DJ playing both of their tracks. And then there was a keyboard there. Mm-hmm. And after the song would finish, Kirk would get on the keys and start playing. So he brought in, you know, they brought in my man there, Marvin Sapp. And he was like, never could have made it. And then later on, they brought in Tamla Mann.
Oh, wow.
And these are people who came in with these, and they're all their own artists right now. Tamla, looking great, lost a bunch of weight just because of medical reasons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And went to the gym to make herself more healthy and just looking fabulous. She used to have blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's back to her original color, which is the black. Mm-hmm. or brunette or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And came on there, she sang a little riff on there, which was great. And then coming around to the coming around to the end, they played a couple songs and the Holy Ghost started to move and they, they really started to get into it. So if you are a gospel aficionado like me, and you love the music, you love gospel music, that was a treat for me to watch that, and I will go back and watch it again. I was singing almost every song on there. You know the songs I wasn't singing, though? Some of their new tracks on their new albums. I don't know them.
You have to go get caught up.
Yeah, I got to go get caught up. I've been listening to too much soca.
Whoa.
You're like, is that a thing? Okay. Too much.
I don't know why.
No, I just haven't heard it. I haven't heard their new albums. So it's fantastic. And I had a great time. I had a great time listening today. It was fantastic. Nice. So, yeah. And that's probably the end of the scroll.
Yes.
If I remember anything else, I'll let you know. Other than that, we're on to the screen. So on the screen, I finished watching The Last Dance. I don't know if I said that last. No, I finished watching it this week. Whew. Amazing. I definitely wanted to go play basketball right after, but
look at all these freaking comments I've not been seeing the entire time.
You have comments today?
Yeah, Darren's been over here the whole time.
Darren.
What's up? Wow, didn't know about Pinto. Hey, Darren, I'm so sorry. Yes, Zach. That cop been catching bodies, he said. My bad, Darren. We just found all these.
Darren's been putting it in there.
He said, these captions kill me. That just says bound tequila. It picks up bound tequila.
Bound tequila.
Bound tequila.
Bounty.
Bound tequila.
That says bone tequila. What does it say? I love it. I'm watching the thing that you guys are seeing. If you're on mine, you get to see the closed captioning. We're waiting for it because it's slower.
Sorry,
than us.
Guys.
Big so. Look. Bound tequila.
You're like bound tequila.
I'm like bounty killer. You'll say it now.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's funny, Darren. But anyways, watch The Last Dance. Oh, man. Yes, Michael Jordan, you know, was hard on those guys and probably was, you know, a real stickler and, you know, a borderline just jerk. But
his leadership style.
His work ethic, the stuff on there made me want to get back out there and play. I don't play barely any sports anymore. My body, when I start to go out and play sports, my body's like, excuse me, what are you trying to do? Excuse me, sir.
Trust me, when I started working after COVID, my body's like, my back is like, are you going to stand the whole time? My arms are like, I don't get it.
I thought we were resting. I thought we were done.
I don't get it. This is not how this works.
I played basketball with a young man the other day. We were supposed to have this drive by for this young nephew, Micah. And a young man came out there and he's in his teens. He's in his teens, like in high school. Like he's ready to go. Work it out. The man has lost 20 pounds. He's on some sort of an egg diet. Awesome guy. But we had played before at the church picnic and my team had beat his team. So he came and tried to challenge me one-on-one.
Right.
And he definitely won the first game. He did. I was breathing hard. And then the second game I came out and it was like 2-0. And after maybe I'd say 20, 30 minutes, I was like, okay, listen, you're not putting up nothing on the board. I'm not putting up no more on the board. I'm dead. I won this one. I told him, I said, we may be enemies on the court, but we're friends in real life, man. You did a good job. I'm sorry.
Having nothing to do with physical activity, I once played a little boy in checkers. And there was a point where I looked at him and I said, are you trying to make this game go longer? Because you could have killed me 3 times already. He's like, yep. He played it until, like, the things that happened were, like, must happen. Like, any way you move, you have to eat my peas. Go.
That in the game world is called total annihilation. He wants to make sure you know he's better than you.
That's not even what he was doing. He just wanted to play more and more and more.
But it was like, nothing can happen. No, I have to jump. I can jump. Which is funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
But, Last Dance, totally recommend it. For those of you who watched the games during that time frame, that time period.
It's made me want to get a Chicago Bulls starter jacket.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my flex for whenever I find it.
Yep. So, Chicago Bulls back in the day, forced to be reckoned with. And the team was a force to be reckoned with. And they came out and they told you everything. They told you who they didn't like, who they liked.
It was the tea. It was more tea spilled than I expected.
There was a lot of tea in there. It was like, ugh,
yeah,
really?
So there was this place called Richie Sports in Beaumont. If you guys, Beaumontonians, remember it, across from St. Vital. Back in the day. So over there at Richie Sports was this Bulls starter jersey that I wanted so bad. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I saved my money, my paper route money, And finally, when it came down to it, I went to the place to buy my starter jacket, and it was completely shut down. It was like completely out of business. So I never got it. I just went right to Mini Mart and ate all the candy that I had to buy. Wow. Like me candy, my friends candy, everybody candy. I was so upset. I get it.
I talked about my starter jersey when I was in high school. What was hot at the times was the Raiders starter jacket.
I remember Tim, the Raiders.
Might know about the Raiders jacket. Sherall, you might know. Darren, you might have heard about this starter jacket. Word. Like, you had, when you had a Raiders starter jacket, they may not have been playing all that good at the time, but to have that skull and crossbones type of starter jacket was the hot. So I said, Mom, my mom said, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? Winter jacket. I said, I want a Raiders jacket, Ma. And I said, it's silver, it's black, and it's white. I said, Ma, you gotta get this jacket for me. I'll give you the money. She's like, no, I'll get it for Christmas. It's your Christmas present. I said, yes. And she came home with an LA Kings starter jacket,
which was also black and orange and white and gray.
Yeah.
She was probably like,
that devil thing, yeah.
I think the Raiders was a guy with the patch. It was a thing, right?
It had a guy with the patch, the Raiders.
And the swords. It was a pirate of some kind, right?
And it was a wicked jacket. It just looked,
I remember back hot, in the day. Hot.
And I was like, I want this jacket. My mom came with the LA Kings jacket. And I cried.
Darren Hall said he had the Orlando Magic.
You can't possibly tell me you went and saw this and said, this is Raiders versus Kings. I looked at the thing. She's like, you like it. Wade Gretzky played for them. I'm like, he's a traitor. I don't want it. I was so mad.
Why you're at Edmonton of all places with the Kings? People are like, ew.
Yeah. I'm here in Edmonton with an LA Kings jacket. And all these Oilers fans are like, get him!
Did she put a target on your back?
You want to see racism? Black man walking around with an LA Kings jacket. They just looked at me like I was from somewhere else. They're like, okay, what part of the country are you from? Where are you from, buddy?
Timmy said you wore the shit out of that thing. He didn't, just so everybody knows. He just wore heck. That's why I don't want to misrepresent this word.
Yeah, of course. He's got to remember it. It's the only jacket I had.
Darren, the San Jose Sharks, I mess with that because of that teal, yo. I mess with that teal. That teal was hard.
Teal. The San Jose Sharks. San Jose Sharks. I had the jacket. I was so mad. And all these memories came up. I remember playing basketball with my brothers.
The funniest part
with my brothers. When I'm talking about brothers, I'm talking about church brothers. Everybody was playing. And this is a time when the playoffs were happening.
Poor Timmy. Tim said he got his Zeller's jacket. You're there, ungrateful in your LA Kings jacket. That's not what happened.
You can talk about how grateful I am about fine. That.
That's not what he asked for. That's not what happened. That's
the point, Tim. The point is when you ask for something and you get something else, it is heartbreaking.
It's hard, especially when you're a kid.
And you're a teenager going to school. I was worried. And black people here and those times weren't nice. And I was playing basketball. I was playing basketball, you know, during the playoffs all the time. So we had Neil out there. We had Barry out there. We had Sean out there. And I remember I went up, you know, I had a little bit of hops. And I went and laid up over Sean. And I did a layup over Sean. And I think I said something trash talking, like, not in my house or something like that. And I ran back. And we were laughing. And Neil was pretty good with ball handling back then. So he had decided to, he had called me out. Like, oh, you're going to do that to my little brother? I'm going to do something to you. And I went up to go get my layup going. And when I went to go do my layup, Neil took my legs out from under me, trying to get the ball. And I landed on my tailbone. Boom. And I fractured my tailbone.
OMG.
And I was just on my back. I was like, and I thought I was going to die. I'm like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Oh, somebody call my mom. Somebody call my mom. And to this day, they
don't know if Dainsworth was there.
They die laughing. And I was like, Alberta, health care. Because I wanted to use my Alberta health care number when I was going. They wanted to get the ambulance to get me going. And my brother ended up taking me to the hospital, went to the hospital. And, you know, I'm a teenager. I've been wearing the same underwear all day long, hot, sweaty. And I'm just smelling like just dirt, just sweat and all day basketballs kind of thing. And my brother's like, You need to do better than this, man. They were all disappointed because I was musky. And the man came out with his rubber glove and he was gonna do a rectal examination. And he came out because they had to check to see if I had, you know, a broken tailbone. Mm-hmm. And so he took his hand and he popped the glove and he went to go stick it in there. He lubed it up when he went to go stick it in, and my butt cheeks like good and squished his hand. He's like, Mr. Williams, you have to relax. I can't move my hand. I said, your hand can't go in there. There's no way your hands can go in. And if your hand's already in, it's never coming out. And he pulled it out and the glove got stuck. He had to pull the glove out separate. His hand came up, but the glove stayed in there.
I don't like it.
He had to pull it because my butt was like, nope.
Yeah.
And we had to go for a whole x-ray. We did x-rays and all that stuff. I had a broken tailbone. So it was a really...
Was it broken?
Yeah, my tailbone had a hairline fracture.
Oh, wow. Sorry, man.
It is what it is. Yeah.
That was all for what? Hmm? What were we talking about on the screen? You gotta read it out loud.
Oh, no, I'm trying to... I think he's finishing.
His story.
Well, that was it. But that was just... what I was talking about was the NBA Finals. But the people who were there, he goes, I wish I could tell this story for you. He's like, I can't tell the story. They want to tell the story how they saw it. But this is how it went down...
For you.
For me.
Fine.
On that end. And then Ken came to them... to him and Neil waiting in the waiting room. But we were playing basketball the whole time. So the Last Dance.
Last Dance.
You got to see the Last Dance. Yep. I've watched a lot of shows. So
it's a documentary time. We haven't done documentary time in weeks.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's my fault. So I'm watching this documentary on Jeffrey Epstein. And if you guys don't know, I realize that Jeffrey Epstein is not like a regular name for people here. There's Jeff Epstein is like a society guy in New York social circles. So he kind of was up in New York and lied his way through life. The thing is about mad old white men giving this young white man access to all of their old white man money. Mm-hmm. And more than one time they're like, he was referred to as the boyfriend. So anyway, so Jeff Epstein had this thing for young girls. So he ended up having these young girls find other young girls and bring them to him. And mm-hmm. he was giving everybody $200 a pop.
Wow.
So even in the time that you're watching it, one person's like 24 girls. One person's like 60 girls they found. One person's 70. This guy had thousands of young girls. I'm saying 12, 13, 14. And he was out in Palm Beach. So he'd have these girls from West Palm Beach who had maybe abusive pasts or needed money or were mm-hmm. even runaways, that he had them not only come and give him gross dude massages and also rape them along with Gillian Maxwell, his wife. Mm-hmm. And then he would have them bring other girls as well. So that would, and then they actually went into the deal that Acosta cut with them, because apparently they had like a really great case. And then Acosta cut this deal with him where he got no time.
Wow.
For thousands and thousands of cases of pedophilia.
Wow.
And literally child sex trafficking. So one of the things that about the media that was saying is that when the media is reporting these things, they're using things like child prostitute. Mm. And because Jeffrey was like giving them money and paying them, they keep calling these girls prostitutes. But it's like not accurate.
That's not accurate.
Right. It's not accurate. And they were abused and he happened to have given the money. But they make it seem, and really, to be honest with you, I have issues with the terms child and prostitute together. Mm. Because for a child to be in a position to be sexually exploited for money, mm-hmm. there's a lot of abuse that has to have happened.
Yeah.
And derelict of duty to get a kid to that place. So and children are not capable of consenting, so I don't know how you get to the word prostitute without consent. I'm not really sure about that.
Tanya says it's not even a term.
It's not. So so they were just digging through this and it was really gross and creepy stuff. Like, this girl's young and she's painting pictures of her younger sister, and these people are buying them for like $14,000, and they're painting of nude young girls, right? Mm. So he has this stuff all up in his house and stole the pictures of the young girls. Wow. Like girls just going through puberty, whatever, and the girls like, I'm just trying my scissors, who are posing for so the other thing is that the lawyer that's representing, the problem is that Epstein peddled these, which is why he didn't commit suicide, right? Mm-hmm. Epstein peddled these girls to, they're rich and famous.
Yeah.
Right? So the guy, I can't remember the lawyer, it's a very famous lawyer. He's like, I didn't represent him himself, but I got a team together to help him get represented. And this lawyer, okay, so remember when we talked about Prince Andrew
mm-hmm.
having sexual relations with that young girl
mm-hmm.
provided to him by Jeff Epstein? And then remember we talked about on this show him doing the interview, and he was like, well, she was like, I met him at a dance club. He was sweating all over me, and he was like, well, I didn't sweat in those years, so that's impossible. Yeah, in that span of time, remember? So this is that girl. So this So the lawyer's like, she's never said on camera that I have molested her. She's never said on camera that I've raped her. I've never had sex with any underage person ever in my life. When I was an underage person, I never had sex with an underage person. Never in my whole life have I ever had sex with an underage person. So he's like, I want her to say it on the show. Next clip. So this person molested me, like his full name. And she has a picture of him, of herself with Prince Andrew, same way. And it's the same girl that they said. Now, in the British news media, they're like, Prince Andrew, this seems to be the young prostitute or whatever. And, but again, how do you say underage prostitute, right? And of course, the royal house is like, none of this ever happened.
Andrew, you cannot go out anymore.
None of this ever happened. That, and Andrew, if you remember, was married to Fergie, who the two of them had divorced a while ago. And there was some kind of thought that Epstein had done something for Fergie, or Fergie had done something for Epstein, or Fergie was somehow also involved. So it is definitely tea. And as the people on the internet say, if I watch the R. Kelly documentary about all his nastiness, then I gotta watch Epstein too. Because they stay being like, well, why are they dragging this black man's thing through the mud but not this other guy? So I gotta watch them all. I'll let y'all know that they're out there.
Yeah, so that's two documentaries, Last Dance, and then...
Taylor said the accent is out. That was the British news. Yeah, that was a good one.
I did not comment on
that was purpose. A good one.
I did not say a thing. I'm like, on to the next. On to the next thing. I'm not even going to say what Taylor
did. Taylor's like, and the accent. Yes! It comes out every show. We have to report on Australia or Britain or the UK. The UK.
Gross. So it's funny. But the other shows that are on, Snowpiercer is one that I've just started. It's not bad.
I was not into it.
Yeah.
It wasn't able to get me.
So Snowpiercer, if you've watched a movie, it's basically a train that literally travels like around the world, basically. And this train, well, I guess it's around the world. They've created this train.
Around and around, yeah.
Yeah, like around and around. And it kind of goes through, and they go through seasons. And they, you know, this train's massive. It has lots of cars on it. And you have the people at the tail of the train. They're at the back. And they're the poor people. And the people are closer to the front, closer to the engine, are the rich people.
And this is pretty much all of humanity on this train. That's left. All
that's left of humanity is on this train. And the train's just going. And basically, the world on the outside of the train is all uninhabitable. The train's the only thing protecting everybody. And so, if you watch the movie... you see that they're realizing that as they look outside, there's vegetation and stuff starting to grow. And when there's vegetation growing, you know, there's certain levels of oxygen that are there. And so what they're trying to do is get to the front or even crash the train so they can get off to check. Because what's happening is the train was created to sustain life, but now has become a prison for a lot of them. And so they are using the train to have people work and harvest and keep the train going. But those people can work and harvest on their own and live on their own outside of the train if they would just stop the train and get off. So the other problem is the train is running out of supplies and food, stuff like that. So the people at the back are getting like bricks of like rations that they're getting, but the people at the front are getting steak and chicken, and you know, the real stuff is there. And there's enough to go around, but they're just feeding the workers the worst of the worst. So
in the movie, do the workers end up realizing that they're eating people?
I think in the end they realize
there's that children in the ground driving the tray with their hands or something. Is that a different one?
No, that's a completely different one. No.
Guys, what's the movie with the children in the ground driving the train?
Anybody in the Darren, do you know that one?
Why are you going to call Darren? You know why? Because he's the only one who comes for me.
Darren's my movie guy. But Darren knows about the movies.
Darren be knowing about the movies and the songs.
That's it. That's why I said, Darren, do you know the one with the children running the train with their hands? So that's a new one that's out as well. Disney has put out a bunch of new shows on as well. So you can watch that.
I watched Moana 2.5 times yesterday.
That's fantastic. So that's amazing.
It is Snowpiercer, friend.
With the children?
Yeah, there's children in the floor.
Well, there's people in the floor.
I thought it was small children in the floor.
There are children there, but they're part of the people. So, yeah. But now they've done a whole Netflix series.
Yeah, with the guy. Okay, if anybody watches Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the guy when she went to university, who was like head of this Black Students Union or whatever. That's that guy. He plays a detective. He's got bad locks in there.
Okay. All right. So there's that guy. There's that guy there.
Yeah. Who is black. And then your friend is in it too.
Which one?
In Snowpiercer.
My friend.
Soleil Moonfry. What's her name?
Soleil Moonfry.
In Snowpiercer, you're like, oh, that's...
Oh, yes. So, Tim, all the people who are out there, our good friend Crystal DeSantos has her, not a debut, but she is acting in Snowpiercer as well. So if you want to see Crystal DeSantos in there, she's one of the soldiers in Snowpiercer. I got to rewind it to see if she dies. And I want to know how, if she's a good... dire, you know, or if she's a good soldier in the show. Right. I know most of the soldiers at the beginning, they die. So I don't know if she dies right at the beginning, but she's right at the beginning. Crystal DeSantis, I stopped, like my breath stopped when I saw. I was like, oh, it's her. But what I realize now is I know at least 3 or 4 famous actors and people. Like, I know Cresha Turner. I know Patricia Isaac. She's a really awesome friend of mine from high school. And then there's Crystal DeSantos, who's done countless amount of shows all over. She got married last year, I believe it, or the year before, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And... fantastic lady. So she's doing her thing.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all,
what's in your ears? What are you listening to?
I am listening to much of the aughts, I would like to call them, AUGHTS, which is the correct term, from 00 to 09, the aughts. So I'm listening to music from the aughts, and I'm listening to mostly the aughts right now. I've kind of been delving into the decades to figure out what songs have I forgotten. Like, you know, there's a lot of reminders that I'm like, oh, All Saints. Never, ever, have I ever felt so sad. Remember that song? The way you feel, the way you got me feeling really bad. I forgot that whole group existed. I'm not crazy. That one. So, yeah, just that like was it. 90s, but I've been listening to the aughts and the 90s and the things.
Tina's like, oh, yes.
Remember? And Brick and Lace.
She's like, yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, love is wicked. Remember? Your love is wicked. Do, do, do. Do, do, do. Yeah, Brick and Lace. Like, those kind of... the songs that we, like, lived
one
for.
One hit wonders.
Yeah. And love it. Never heard about them again. Love so, it. I've been up in there listening to the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, PJ is just the gift that keeps on giving.
PJ Martin.
Yeah.
Me, I've been listening to, I went back to 2019 Soca and comparing it with 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And
2019 was a very great year.
Yeah, it was exceptionally great.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is really good. So I'm telling you, I'm there's understanding different the
vintages. The
quality was like, ooh, okay.
You just, it was like a certain vibration. Yeah.
Yes.
Agree.
So I love that year. So I went back and listened to that. And I've been listening to some older gospel music that I used to listen to, like the Commissions and stuff like that. I delve back into those and some of the older worship sets too. So I've been listening to quite a bit of different music as things go on through the week. The funny thing about music is music for me takes me from a level of negative thought into a very positive really quickly. It's the thing that cures, helps me to calm down, levels out blood pressure. The vibration itself helps me to kind of motivate and focus. If I'm scatterbrained, if I have the right music on, it's like boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go and get to work. So I've been doing a lot of work this week as well with the fixing of stuff to the actually getting out there. And I threw in a few furnaces into people's garages lately. So I'm going to wrap those up and looking at doing a couple other projects. Plus, also, Darren Jordan.
Yeah, I was gonna say shout out to Darren Jordan.
Shout out to Darren Jordan and Five Artists, One Love. He did his first of the Five Artists, One Love series, the alumni series.
Mm-hmm.
And I was happy to be on the alumni series just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And do my thing and just talk about my experience there.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun. It was fun recording it. We got to do it due to social media and social distancing and stuff like that. So
desert.
Trying to get that in there. He did a great job putting it together. And I'm very happy that he's here supporting us artists. Mm-hmm. Even in these times, yeah.
Shout out to Mr. David Shepherd. Clear David your Shepherd. Calendars for June 20th. You will get to see Bliss, the Bliss Band, live streaming once again from the Starlight Room. You know, we always keeps it funky, so I'm sure it'll be just yet another great time. So clear your calendars. It is a Saturday, so I'm sure we'll be going up with all the 1400 DJs who also go live on Saturday nights. Catches between 8 and 12, and Mr. Shepherd's band will also be performing that night. I don't know what it's called, but the entire thing is called Shepapalooza. So yeah, clear your calendars, mark it up, and we will see you online at that time.
Yeah, you got a word for the people now?
I haven't had words in a long time, huh?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're sitting on the words or if you're waiting.
You don't know. Sure. This week's particular word is about, I don't know what it's about. It's about doing what you can towards supporting the things that you would like to support. Currently, because of the way things are in the world, we have the opportunity to be the great observer of historical events that are happening right now. And there are many people who have been cast into the ancestral plane fighting for us. A lot of these people who are dying were organizers and were activists. We spoke about George Floyd today. Sandra Bland was also an activist and an organizer as well. So, and our activists and organizers are continuing to die without this amount of media attention on them. And I know it's been very, very stressful, but I want us to think about real actionable things that we can do. and really what that means, what your contribution actually means, and where you want to be in history and who you want to be in history. I think at this time, and of course you can do whatever you want to do, but at this time you are either building or destroying. So if you completely disagree, it might be a better option at this time to just step out of people's ways rather than being an enemy of progress in terms of the cause. So get right or get left. That's all I got.
All right.
Yeah. We have a lot of window panes here. We have about 20 of them. So if we have artists, either by passion or by profession, who are out there who would like to contribute anything artistically to any of those panes that are an output pretty much of protest or frustration or whatever it is, that if you need an artistic output, feel free to contact us here at Aphrodisiac, and I will be lighting candles in all of those windows, and likely writing names in all of those windows to just shed a light on those folks who have come before us and have fought for freedom that likely we won't see. We're just a part of the fight. So
all right,
that's it for me.
Well, I appreciate all those who tuned in today personally.
Oh, happy birthday to Darren Jordan. Boof, we talked about him, but we didn't say happy birthday
to the DJ. Mm-hmm. For sure. So all the people who have been able to support us over this last first season, now into the second season, thank you so much for all the stuff. Be a difference, be right or be left. You know, it's got to be the thing. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate you. So thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to yet another episode of the
Black Multiverse Theory podcast.
We'll be coming back as long as you come back to see us, and even if we're shouting into the void, living with this rage every single day. Keep well. Take care of yourselves. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Why do you have to make that?